Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, 421, the day after. Now, we've had plenty of party shows up around here, haven't we, Fancy Brian? What I would say is, you know, if it were a differing sort of party, there'd be a huge hangover. I'd have a thumper going on. Not so much. Like, 421 feels a lot like 420 did.
Yeah.
How you doing, Fancy?
Feels pretty all right, man. Feels pretty all right.
And hello to you as well, Evan, here with me in the world headquarters in Madison, screening your calls lightly at 844-967-2789. Well, boys, it was a good time down at Knuckleheads, thanks to our fine sponsor. We'll see how this show rolls out. Hopefully it's a good one as well. Here are a few of the thoughts I had for the day. The New York Times reporting, and we're going to start there in just a minute. Republican leadership wanted Donald Trump out, but they feared him. And apparently they thought the Democrats were going to take him out with an effective conviction through the impeachment 2.0 process. McConnell thought that Trump was going to be impeached. Of course, he eventually voted against that, but, you know, he thought it. Also, Rudy Giuliani, the former president's attorney of hair dye fame, you know, the hair dye coming down the face. Well, we had threatened, we had warned you he was on The Masked Singer. And someone caught that bad assignment. Some journalist has been watching the show each and every week, just waiting for Rudy.
This is the first season I haven't watched.
Apparently we have an update. And it was bad. It was bad to the bone, Fancy Brian. We'll tell you more about that. Also, Rupert Murdoch, I think he has picked his next presidential nominee on behalf of the Republican Party, and it's Ron DeSantis. And I think by doing so, he effectively screwed Donald Trump. So anyways, I know our audience, they'll take some glee in that. Also, a little Russian Rojo on the side. We'll talk about Rojo and an op-ed editorial piece here from Madison. Once again, your call is always welcome here, 844-967-2789. Fancy, the next time we're partying out in the public, at least officially, will be the unofficial kickoff of summer. The Summer of Love 2.0. I think we might call it the Boosted Boogaloo.
Boosted Boogaloo. Okay, I can do that.
I had been seeking outside counsel on this. What should we call this? And I hadn't really gotten a lot of good suggestions. You know, I heard the Boosted Boogaloo from Luke. So I stole that. Kind of like the Shaw. That also one of Luke's finer creations.
He's got a nice little nice little talent there.
The monikers. He's down for the monikers. Anyways, the next party is going to be the party to end all summer. End all parties. It's going to be the party to kick off the summer, May 17th. So the unofficial kickoff of summer. We're calling it summer on May 17th at the Jade Monkey, going out to the east side. Where's that at? Fancy Brian, that's like 217 Cottage Grove Road.
217 Cottage Grove Road.
We will be partying on the deck at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. And that is the funkiest of all the monkey name bars that I'm aware of. We will party there, and it will be a good time. We'll have political guests on the deck, and we'll certainly invite our closest friends and allies, friends of the devils, our minions, if you will, and the party Well, it could be one of the all-time ragers. It could be the greatest night of your life, but you got to show up. Or at least listen in on the radio. But the parties are usually
the best.
You
can't
win
if you don't play, everybody.
Yes, please play. Please play. Let's get into the politics. Let me, you know, stop talking about what I'm going to talk about and talk about something. I've had it with this guy. That is the headline at the New York Times. My little buddy Dominic actually posted this one at the Devil's Advocate's Facebook. If you don't follow us there, why not? Here is the rest of the headline. I've had it with this guy. GOP leaders privately blasted Trump after January 6th. A little smaller subheadline. In the days after the attack, Representative Kevin McCarthy planned to tell Mr. Trump to resign. Senator Mitch McConnell told allies impeachment was warranted, but their fury faded fast. I guess it's low-T fury. From the reporting, Alexander Burns, Jonathan Martin, New York Times. In the days after the January 6th attack on the Capitol building, the two top Republicans in Congress, Representatives Kevin McCarthy and Senator Mitch McConnell, told associates they believe President Trump was responsible for inciting the deadly riot and vowed to drive him from politics.
Oh.
Well, where's that lead been? Mr. McCarthy went so far as to say he would push Mr. Trump to resign immediately. I've had it with this guy, he told a group of Republican leaders. But within weeks, both spineless men backed off on an all-out fight with Mr. Trump because they feared retribution. They feared the man. From him.
Strong leadership.
Well, as much as they fear Trump, they fear his followers. They fear his political movement. Back to the article. They drive to act. Their drive to act faded fast as it became clear it would mean difficult votes that would put them at odds with most of their colleagues. I didn't get to be a leader by voting with five people in the conference, Mr. McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, told a friend. In other words, if you want to be the leader, you're always part of the majority. A little bit more here. The confidential expressions of outrage from Mr. McCarthy and Mr. McConnell, which have not been previously reported, illustrate the immense gulf between what Republican leaders say privately about Trump and their public deference to a man whose hold on the party has gone virtually unchallenged for half a decade. Yeah, a little different behind closed doors. Behind that green door, they're saying lots of stuff and doing some kinky stuff. Anyways, the leader's swift retreat in January of 2021 represented a capitulation at a moment of extraordinary political weakness for Trump. He was vulnerable. That's when you take the man out. Anyways, let me read on. Perhaps the last and best chance for mainstream Republicans to regain control of their party from a leader who had stoked an insurrection against American democracy itself. No, they instead chose to keep him in place as the effective leader of the Republican Party. You know, more coups to follow. Here's more from this article. This account of the private discussions among Republican leaders in the days after January 6th attack is adapted from a new book. This will not pass. You know, kind of like kidney stones, right? This will not pass. Trump, Biden, and the Battle for America's Future, which draws on hundreds of interviews with lawmakers and officials and contemporaneous records of pivotal moments in the 2020 presidential campaign. And Mr. McConnell's office, while they declined to comment, Mark Bettner, a spokesman for Mr. McCarthy, denied that the Republican leader told colleagues he would push Mr. Trump to leave office. McCarthy never said he'd call Trump to say he should resign. I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he always had his fingers crossed behind his back, but they do report on the outrage expressed in real time. Let me share more from the New York Times. No one embodies the stark accommodation to Mr. Trump more than Mr. McCarthy, a 57-year-old Californian who has long had his sights set on becoming Speaker of the House. That should never happen. In public, after January 6th, McCarthy issued a careful rebuke to Mr. Trump, saying that he bears responsibility for the mob that tried to stop Congress from officially certifying the president's laws. But he declined to condemn him in sterner language. In private, McCarthy went much further on a phone call with several top House Republicans on January 8th. What's that, like 48 hours after? McCarthy and said Mr. Trump's conduct, New York Times always calls them Mr. I've been dropping a few of the misters. Mr. McCarthy said Mr. Trump's conduct on January 6th had been atrocious and totally wrong. That's the quote. He faulted the president for, and here's another quote, inciting people to attack the Capitol, saying that Mr. Trump's remarks at the rally at the National Mall that day were not right by any shape or any form. Again, that's a quote, Fancy. During the conversation, McCarthy inquired about the mechanism for invoking the 25th Amendment, the process whereby the VP and members of the cabinet can remove a president from office, before concluding, that ain't viable. Mr. McCarthy, who was among those who objected to the election results, was uncertain and indecisive. Yeah, shocker. I want to be the leader, I think. Fretting that the Democratic drive to impeach Trump would put more fuel on the fire of the country's divisions. But McCarthy's resolve seemed to harden as the gravity of the attack and the potential political fallout for his party sank in. Two members of Trump's cabinet had quit their post after the attack, and several moderate Republican governors had called for the president's resignation. Video clips of the riot kept surfacing online, making the raw brutality of the attack even more vivid in the public's mind. And on January 6th, Mr. McCarthy spoke again with the leadership team. This time he had a plan. There's a plan. He had a plan for a plan, Fancy. The Democrats were driving hard for an impeachment resolution, McCarthy said, and they would have the votes to pass it. Now we plan to call Trump and tell him it was time for him to go. Again, a quote, what he did is unacceptable. Nobody can defend that, and nobody should defend that, he told the group. But now Crudy's side, as we sneak into our first commercial break, he has. He was the one that defended Trump. He was the capitulator. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. New reporting at the New York Times. Rudy on the Masked Singer. Your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. The 420 hangover? There ain't one.
Nobody can even begin to imagine what a completely scorched earth Senate would look like.
Are you talking to me?
I didn't say that very artfully. Run away!
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. And we will get back a little more reporting, a little more meat on the bone there at the New York Times article. McCarthy and McConnell apparently wanted to push Donald Trump out after the January 6th, but somewhere along the way, they lost their courage. But you know who's got a lot of courage, a lot of moxie, a lot of gumption? Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani, last night, his appearance on The Masked Singer. And this apparently caught the panel completely unaware. No one saw this one coming, although we had heard about it and we had reported it here to our fine audience, just in case, you know, you want to see Rudy singing. And apparently Rudy's effort at singing was more of a reading alouding of the words to the song, Bad to the Bone. Rudy did Bad to the Bone.
Great, great job. Great, great job.
And then the audience and the judges, they reacted. Now, who's the prettiest blonde that's on that show?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy had no idea who Rudy was.
Really?
No idea whatsoever. Kim Jong did.
Kim Jong did. So did Robin.
He knew. Let's play his reaction to Rudy being unmasked on the big show last night. I am so sorry I missed this. I was watching the Bucks game.
I literally watched every other season besides this one.
Well, I'm not a big Bucks fan always, but last night watched the playoff game, although they lost. And I missed the opportunity to see real-time Rudy unmasked on the Singer Cut 25. Let's see how it turns out for him.
Yeah! On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered around, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell them right away that I was bad.
Oh, it's bad.
I broke a thousand hearts.
Is this nearly done? Apparently, he performed but did not win. And the loser, the worst Masked Singer, and, you know, that's pretty damn bad, gets unmasked at the end of the episode. I don't think I've ever watched. Maybe the kids were watching once and I was in the room for a bit, but... never watched the entirety of the show, but is that the general premise?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And they unmask someone every time. And usually it's the celebrity that really doesn't want to be in the mask anymore. They just kind of say, because they never reveal any of the votes or what the votes were close or anything. There's never any mention of anybody voting or any who votes or who cares. They just kind of, it's nobody takes it seriously enough that anybody actually cares who wins or who loses.
Well, let me get back, because I think more important, perhaps, although I was the one that brought up this whole Bad to the Bone, Masked Singer, Rudy Giuliani. And yeah, that was some of the worst public singing I've heard since Crudy on the radio that one time doing the songs, Sound of Music.
Oh, I think it worked just fine. I think it worked out just perfect.
Back to the reporting. New York Times dropped some never before reported information about the Republican leaders and their reactions to Donald Trump in what was described by them as the incitement of the riot on January 6th. To the body of the work, we've obviously read a lot of this reporting, and it's going to wrap up here, but I'm going to read. McCarthy said he would tell Mr. Trump of the impeachment resolution. I think this will pass, and it would be my recommendation that you should resign. I don't think he ever told him that. Let me read on. He acknowledged it was unlikely Trump would follow that suggestion. And Mr. McCarthy, as he's described here, spent the 4 years of Trump's presidency as one of the White House's most obedient lapdogs. I mean, supporters in Congress. Since Trump's defeat, McCarthy has appeared appeased far-right members of the House, some of whom are closer to the former president. McCarthy may need their support to become Speaker, a vote that could come soon. As next year, if the GOP claims the House in November, God, I hope not. But in a brief window after the storming of the Capitol, McCarthy contemplated a total break with Trump and his most extreme supporters. It would have been the opportune time, right? During the same January 6th conversation, when he said he would call Trump to resign, McCarthy told GOP leaders he wished the big tech companies would strip some Republican lawmakers of their social media accounts, you know, think the Twitter and the Facebook, as they had done to Trump. Members such as Lauren Boebert of Colorado had done so much to stoke paranoia about the 2020 election and had made offensive comments online about the Capitol attack. Here is a quote attributed to McCarthy. "We can't put up with that. Can't they take their Twitter accounts away too?" McCarthy, in real time, you know, current comment, never said that particular members should be removed from Twitter. You know, he didn't enumerate which member should be removed and deplatformed from which platform. More reporting from the Times. Other Republican leaders in the House agreed with McCarthy and said the president's behavior deserved swift punishment. Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana, you know, he's number two in the House Republican caucus, said on one call that it was time for the GOP to contemplate a post-Trump Republican House, while Representative Tom Emmer of Minnesota, the head of the party's House Campaign Committee, suggested censoring Trump. Yet none of the men followed through on their tough talk in these private conversations. Bad to the bone, my ass. None of them got a courageous bone in their freaking body. So anyways... The most interesting part, one of the takeaways, I'm not going to read any more from this article, but I find one of the more interesting takeaways, Mitch McConnell thought there would be a successful impeachment. And I don't mean in the House. I mean in the Senate. And it wasn't until he started polling his caucus and found out that there would not be a larger support for the conviction of Trump that he lost his spine. He lost his courage. And, of course, voted to acquit. But then, you know, that very tough-minded statement, he was so bad on the Senate floor afterwards, because that really matters for history's sake, right? Come back, more Devils.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.
Who's bad?
...60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. Friday Eve, as my little buddy likes to call it. I'd like to look forward to a couple of fine bookings done by yours truly. Monday of next week, the 25th of April. And where's April going to? It felt like winter here in the upper Midwest. And then suddenly it's glorious here. It's sunny in upper 60s. But come Monday, we've got U.S. senatorial candidate Sarah Godlewski in studio in the world headquarters right here in Madison. Sarah Godlewski returns to the show. And then Wednesday of next week at 3:30, this very same time, Al Franken, the promised interview with the former senator or the only former senator currently on tour, Al Franken. He's coming to the Barrymore Theater next Friday, the 29th, and that has been such a successful show. I wish I could tell you Franken's team needed us to promote that event. It should be a sellout. If you don't have tickets yet, there's like a handful of tickets left at the box office. You better call. Great, Barrymore great. Theater, Madison. Al Franken coming to town next Friday night.
I'm taking this personally, man. I'm going out of town, and you bring all the cool people on. That's fine. That's awesome.
Oh, that's right. You're gone, Fancy Brad.
I like those people, but I'm out of town. Come on.
Man, I can't worry about the people not at the party. Sorry, man. Enjoy Disney.
I will.
We'll send you down there as our, you know, cub reporter to cover the anti-Disney sentiment being leveled by Ron DeSantis in Florida.
I'll try and wade through reporters. I think I won't have much of a problem. From what I understand, a lot of them are cowards.
Well, that might be true. Reporters are cowards? Wait a second.
No, the protesters. I'm sorry.
Oh.
The ones outside of Disney going, rah, 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 yay, Ron DeSantis.
Are there anti-Disney protesters?
I would assume there are. In fact, I think it'd be great if there were.
You're speculating, though.
I'm speculating.
Well, around here, man, at least 63-64% of the time, we try to get it right every time. So let me correct the record on behalf of the former president, Donald Trump, and then I'll tell you why I'm doing so.
Okay.
Donald Trump did a little interview. Piers Morgan, supposed to be a friend, right? These two guys were buddies. Morgan was the first champion of the Celebrity Apprentice contest. And I believe Trump still calls him champ, you know, because it's a big deal in Trumplandia if you were on his show. But there's this new thing called Talk TV, they're calling it. And it's debuting on Monday. And they're teasing this new interview between Trump and Piers Morgan as the most explosive interview of the year. Most explosive. And they also claim that Trump effectively walked off camera, right? The interview is done. Walked off. So he claimed. So they claim in the little video clips, little snippets that they're releasing. But Trump has come out and made some direct comments contradicting that this ever happened. I think he's calling it fake news. You know, that's shocker. But he might have a point. And you know he might have a point because they ran to NBC News to disprove how this interview actually is being represented by, you know, Talk TV and Piers Morgan's group, which happens to be owned by Rupert Murdoch. Make a little mental note of that. We'll come back to that point. According to Raw's story, Donald Trump lashed out at Piers Morgan over a video of a combative interview that went viral online. We shared it here, at least the sound thereof. The interview was a promo for Talk TV, which debuts on Monday. The venture is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who also owns the New York Post. Now, that was the reporting I went to yesterday. I went to the Post. I went to Rupert Murdoch's rag because, you know, it was crapping on Donald Trump, and I like that. So that's why I went there. Here is what Trump is claiming. Piers Morgan, like the rest of the fake news media, attempted to unlawfully and deceptively edit his long and tedious interview with me. He wanted to make it look like I walked out on the interview when my time limit of 20 minutes went over by an hour. So Trump's claiming, no, that's not how it happened. The interview was actually very strong on the 2020 election fraud, with him calling me a fool if he truly believed those results. The evidence is massive and irrefutable. As it says here, Trump brazenly lied. For those who want to make Piers look bad, compare his video promo and how it was doctored to the real thing. Hopefully they will now be doing some big changes to their final product. I'll stop doing the Trump voice for now. It just shows, well, maybe I won't. However, what I have to deal with the fake news media, he went out of his way to deceptively edit an interview and got caught. That is a big story, isn't it? Question mark? Like, isn't it a big story? Isn't it? Like, it finally happened. I've been claiming it all along, you know, oh, it's always edited video, fake news, whatever. But Trump must feel strongly about this.
Especially when he brings actual evidence and tries to show actual evidence.
Well, they actually brought the tapes. Lordy, there's another tape. This time Trump's team has the tape, and they went running off to NBC News, of all places, to try and get the accurate coverage out there. So, you know, in light of the fact we always try to get it right here, here is what NBC News is reporting. Mark Caputo, Jonathan Allen, an audio recording. And that's the only reason you know that NBC News picked up the story is because he brought him the tape. Probably edited selectively, but let me read. An audio recording obtained by NBC News appears to show that former President Donald Trump's highly publicized interview with Piers Morgan did not end with Trump storming off the set, as edited promotional video clips suggest. Instead, according to the recording, which was provided by Trump's spokesman, the two men thanked each other and laughed at the conclusion of the interview for Talk TV, a subsidiary of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. We talked about the fact that it's supposed to, you know, launch on Monday. The most explosive interview of the year is they're portraying this. This is what they showed us. Turn the camera off, Trump says at the very close of the video clip as he appears to rise from his chair. Very dishonest. But the audio at the end of the interview appears to tell a different story. The two men laughed and thanked each other, the recording shows. There are no signs of Trump storming off the set. That was a great interview, Morgan says in the audio at the end. Trump agrees with him. Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Morgan says. And that's when Trump says, turn the camera off. By then, the former president had already risen from the chair, according to his communications director, Taylor Budowich, who supplied the audio to NBC News. Piers got caught red-handed, Trump said in a statement Thursday. And the interview that I rather enjoyed doing is now in shambles. Yeah, they're trying to screw you, buddy.
My interview is in shambles.
As for Trump's saying, very deceptive, he made the comment after a frustrated Budowich called up Morgan for dragging out the interview and falsely and repeatedly saying he had one last question only to ask one more. So he kept dragging out the interview. Trump had expected the interview to last 20 minutes, Budowich said, but it stretched out for more than an hour. Towards the end, Budowich called for one last question, but the audio appears to show that Morgan asked several more, including one related to Celebrity Apprentice. Is that the last question? You said that one last question four times now, Budowich told Morgan. See, I even gave him the Trump voice. So I feel like you're lying at this point. I'm not lying, Morgan says. Trump then said, very deceptive. Morgan then asked more questions. You know, you can always get up and leave the interview, right? And while the interview appeared to be tough, as Morgan called Trump out for lying about the stolen election, that part, yeah. I'm very curious to see how that part plays out. His final question was a figurative softball about the hole-in-one Trump recently boasted about shooting on a golf course. After the NBC first posted this story, Morgan denied wrongdoing when Trump's son, Don Jr., took to Twitter to criticize how misleading and deceptive the Morgan promo edit is. I learned all my promo skills from you guys on Celebrity Apprentice. Nothing misleading or deceptive about it, Don. Your dad just got very annoyed when I told him I don't believe the 2020 election was rigged or stolen. Aside from that, it was a terrific interview. Terrific. Now, here's, you know, did I tell you to make a little mental footnote? I think I did. I hope you did. I'll come back. I'll reference that little mental footnote that you've been saying. What's that one for? Well, here's that what that was for. Did you ever consider why they would portray Trump in this fashion? I mean, this is Foxy News. Effectively, the mothership is Fox News Corp. It's Rupert Murdoch. Nothing happens there. Not with involving the former president. Without the blessing of the family, if you know what I'm saying. So here is the very interesting part. Trump's disastrous interview with Piers Morgan reveals a pivotal fact about the Murdoch family. And I'm going to give credit where credit's due. This conversation actually happened between Morning Joe Scarborough and George Conway. You know, Kellyanne's husband used to be something of a rabid anti-Trumper. Lincoln Project. I think that's, you know, he's a big part. But MSNBC's Joe Scarborough and George Conway agreed Rupert Murdoch and his family are trying to destroy the monster. In this case, we ain't talking about the Kraken. We're talking about Trump. I almost said the crackhead, but that's Mike Lindell.
Cracks are showing, though.
They created. They want to destroy the monster they created by ambushing Donald Trump with a hostile interview while his erstwhile friend, Piers Morgan. So you bring in a friend, right? Like the mob does it. Someone you trust, so you never see it coming. The Murdoch-owned Talk TV aired the interview that appears to show Trump storming out in protest, but an audio recording provided by the former president's comm director appears to show the pair laughing and thanking one another for a great interview. And the Murdoch-owned New York Post hyped the program as Trump versus Piers. Here is what is fascinating about this, according to Joe Scarborough. You'll remember Rupert Murdoch. He is not one of those who sticks around after the parade is over. He doesn't stick around with his arm around somebody and say, hey, we're with you. The Murdochs are quietly, not so quietly, moving closer and closer to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. People close to them know that they're ready to throw it all behind Ron DeSantis. They're ready to move on from Trump. So even if this didn't go down the way the New York Post, the paper of record of Morning Joe, that's sarcasm if you didn't know, folks. Even if it didn't go down the way the promo suggested it did, it reveals a much bigger tell. And that is that the Murdochs are blindsiding Donald Trump. The parade is moving on. Now, we've talked about who's George Conway's wife, Kellyanne, right? Conway's, whose wife served in Trump's White House until August 2020, agreed the Murdochs are trying to hobble Trump ahead of the next presidential election. Here's his quote. The Murdochs play a big role in creating this monster. We can hope that they'll try to destroy the monster now. It is just hilarious to watch. It is good television. So maybe this is how Fox News is going to get its ratings up beyond what, you know, in response to Trump attacks on them. So I don't know. Well, what do you know, George? A little bit more. Scarborough was struck by Trump's response to some unexpectedly tough questions from Morgan about the election he lost, telling the talk show host, you're not real. And Conway offered an explanation for the odd turn of phrase. Not just he's bubble wrapped, he's a sociopath, Conway said. That's why he doesn't believe what he doesn't want to believe. He declares everything's fake and creates his own reality for himself. It's not surprising that he says to Piers, I don't think you're real. That's his way of saying everything I disagree with, everything I don't want to know about, everything that offends me or hurts my ego is fake. That's Donald Trump. That's Trump. according to George Conway. But, you know, the Bob, they never tell you they're coming for you. Do they fancy Brian?
I haven't had it happen, so I couldn't tell you. But, yeah, they
the Murdoch awesome. Family?
This will be interesting to see how it plays out.
The Fox Mob just might be coming for Donald Trump. You know, it's interesting. I was invited on Fox News this weekend. Saturday, specifically. You know, talk radio panel, that kind of stuff. I saw the weather report, 78 and sunny, and I said, sorry. You know, it's outside recess. I can't do it. Come back, more Devils. If you want to hear me, you got to hear me here.
Just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Fake.
Believe me.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
But nobody likes me.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. We're taking your phone calls right here, lightly screened at 844-967-2789. I want to shout out AM950 listeners. I got a little story for you coming next up there in Minneapolis. Also want to say hi to those listening on WCPT 820 AM, Eureka, California. Love our friends listening in Eureka on the Devilish 92.7 and 1480 AM KGOE. Our friends on WADR, of course, and right here at the world headquarters, Devil Radio in the Shaw, Kakaw the Shaw, where my pal Brian's producing the show. Evan's here with me in Madison. And your phone calls could be next. Again, 844-967-2789. But let me get this quick Minnesota headline out. Minnesota Republicans asked supporters for money after saying Delta Airlines banned him for life. Apparently, he's going to have to fly a more expensive airline. What, Frontier not available in the Twin Cities? State Rep. Eric Mortensen, Republican from Shakopee, says he's been banned for life from Delta Airlines for refusing to wear a mask on a flight from Colorado to Minnesota Monday, hours after a federal judge in Florida struck down the two-year-old national mask mandate for airline passengers. Mortensen said he had argued with flight attendants who asked him to wear a mask on his flight. Of course he did, because, you know, he's a man's man. Mortensen told the whole story in a Tuesday fundraising email to his supporters, saying, "Leftist on a power trip at Delta," insisted he wear a mask, despite his protests that the mandate had been overturned that morning. Now, can you still have private corporations make demands of, you know, citizens that want to buy tickets for the privilege of private air flight? Because it doesn't just have to be the government asking, right? Or could you just be not a jacknut if the lady on Delta asks you to wear a mask? Can you wear a mask? I mean, Denver to Minneapolis, what's that? 3 hours? It's not a terribly long flight.
Yeah, but it's someone making somebody do something else, and it's just hard, and it's an inconvenience.
How tyrannical. After the plane landed, a flight attendant told Mortensen he had been banned for life. Mortensen said he laughed and replied, "Delta doesn't have to ban me. I'm banning Delta." Uh-huh. You Minnesotans must be so proud. Uh-huh. Mortensen used the incident as an opportunity to raise funds. Of course he did. How can I grift off this? Asking people to send him $12.86 because he was on flight. Wait for it, 1286. Mortensen, who spent much of his first term decrying COVID-19 vaccines and pulling stunts to get media attention, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. That was originally reported at the Minnesota Reformer. So there's one for our friends up in KTNF land. You must be
Who's
so
coming
proud.
With me?
Eric Mortensen, Republican from Shakopee. I hope I said that right. I think that's right. 844-967-2789. If you're listening, Eric, you can call us. But first, I'm taking Jake. Jake from Milwaukee. How you doing, man? What do you got?
Yeah, this would be interesting if Fox really is doing this, and I really don't know. But, you know, I don't know how much lower you can get Trump to go. with his cult not still following him. I mean, they'd have to do something pretty amazing, you know, like, I don't know what they would have to do, but, I mean, his cult with QAnon and the myth they have.
He could shoot, you know, someone on Fifth Avenue and he would lose no support, Jake. Effectively, he'd lose very little support.
So I don't think Fox is going to kill their monster. In fact, I would be more surprised if Fox takes half their watchers to a different news station, you know, and then Fox suddenly has even less. So I don't think it's going to work out for Murdoch. I think Rupert Murdoch is actually one of the worst horrible human beings on the planet.
Joe Biden agrees with you on that point. I think he called him the worst person in the world or something.
He has U.S. citizenship. He should be tried for treason, but especially with all the Russia stuff. But, you know, that'll never happen. But as I said, this could be bad for conservative. I mean, the whatever they are now, the fascists, if this actually happens, because they're not going to give up on Trump.
Well,
I mean, that's their
perhaps guy. They're going to move on to a better, slicker, younger fascist in the person of Ron DeSantis.
I don't think they're going to be able to do it that easily. I mean, if they're actually trying to destroy Trump, I mean, that's something that's not going to happen.
What if they just feature Ron DeSantis as the miracle worker, as the guy that kept Florida open during a pandemic, the guy that has the courage, the cojones to go fight Disney, you know, in his home state, a employer of 80,000 Floridians.
Well,
but, you know,
he's
strong
right
and wrong.
That would be better than them trying to actually take Trump out. But DeSantis, I mean, he's going to have a lot of corporate Disney dollars going to take them down. I have a feeling Disney is going to exact its revenge. Mickey Mouse will be coming with a dagger to stab the Republicans in Florida in the back. That's just what I think is going to happen. But,
well, all he's
got
to do, Jake, is cut off the flow of that sweet, sweet Disney money.
Yep.
Jake, appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. That call ended with a yep. Tom from McFarland, you're next. Yep, Tom, what do you got for us?
See, I'm going to have to agree with the previous caller. I think this is going to explode spectacularly on Fox. If there's one thing that we know about the Trumplicans, is facts do not matter. I mean, you take a look at all the reporting that's been coming out from the January 6th commission, and that hasn't moved the needle one iota.
But it hasn't been reported where they seek their news, Tom. It hasn't really made its way to Fox yet. I mean, we now know from the New York Times today what it was that the Republican leadership were saying after January 6th behind closed doors, right? They thought there would be a successful conviction in the U.S. Senate, according to Mitch McConnell, according to this New York Times reporting. Kevin McCarthy wanted to push the former president out. Now, I have no doubt they assessed the caucus and they assessed the crazy ass followers of Donald Trump. And, you know, they didn't have the courage to take that public stand. But Fox News could make or break this guy's next campaign, if you will, Tom.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on there, because remember, back when all this happened, McConnell and company, they were all gung-ho and public as far as how they felt Trump should be held accountable. And it was Trump's base that actually saved them. When they started flooding the Republican senators and congressmen saying, hey, stop the attack on Trump, we actually agreed with what he was doing. So we don't want to see you taking him down this way. So I don't think that's going to change anything within that.
But the thing that...
But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your call, man. The thing that deflates a cult of personality, criminal indictments and convictions. And he had a chance to cut the cancer off before it become more malignant. And the Republicans didn't have the courage to stand up to Trump and end it, to cut off that appendage. And now the entire party is cancerous, gangrenous, and Trump loving. Come back, hour two, you're devil loving. I can feel it. You're sticking around. I know you will.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
No, thanks. We gave it the office.